Welcome, everyone, to the MMQB Gambling Podcast, Week 11. Next week, Thanksgiving. This is when you get into the meat of the season. I am one of your co-hosts, Jimmy Traina from SI.com. Joining me, as always, the Grambling Brothers. First up, Gary Grambling, the senior editor at the MMQB. Gary, how are you?
I'm good, Jimmy. I got a spreadsheet here, and I'm really excited about it. I'm giddy.
Gamblers love their spreadsheets. What was your best bet record last week?
Oh, last week was good. It was a 4-2-1.
Impressive.
All of those were sides, except one total. Monday night total went over there. So 3-2-1 on sides, 1-0 on totals.
Nice.
So good week.
As always, we're joined by Gary's brother, Scott Grambling, the managing editor of DRF Sports Forum. Scott, how are you?
I'm doing well. Coming off as mediocre as you can get. 2-2-1 last week. 0-1-1 on sides. I lost on the Lions and pushed on the Jaguars. 2-1 in totals. I'm now, I've slipped below the 60% mark, which is very disappointing. I'm 20-14-2 on sides for 59%, 11-8 on totals for 58%, 31-22-3 overall, 58%. Going to try and push that puppy back up over 60% this week.
And it's a interesting week. A lot of weird games. The totals are not crazy this week as they have been. I think we have obviously the biggest total of the season, and that will be less. But things, the totals, there's a couple of weird lines, and we'll get into it all right now for your betting, handicapping pleasure, I should say. Week 11 in the NFL. We start in Atlanta on Sunday at 1 o'clock, the Falcons coming off a loss to the Browns in Cleveland, giving a field goal to the Cowboys coming off their big, I was going to say Monday night, that was Sunday night win against the Eagles, who look to be done. Total here, 48.5. Scott, what do you like?
I got a slight lean here to the Cowboys. When you look at how bad the Falcons were gashed by that Cleveland running attack, 211 yards they gave up on the ground. Dallas's run game is significantly better than Cleveland's. I feel like the Cowboys, if I had to pick the game, I would take them because of their ability to run the football, chew up yardage on the ground, keep the ball out of the hands of the Falcons' offense. I would go Dallas here, but I'm not betting the game.
Gary?
Yeah, this is a really tough game to start here. I will say I lean slightly toward the Falcons here. I do want to see if Deion Jones suits up. He's been activated off IR. He may or may not come back. To me, when the Falcons play at home, I always think to myself, can the opponent outscore them? And look, Falcons are, four of their five home games this year, they're over 30 points. They've gone over 400 yards in each of those games. Can the opponent keep up with them? I don't, you know, look, Cowboys, yes, they've been better offensively. They're not good offensively. They're still not good. If this one turns into Atlanta scoring 31 points, which is always within the realm of possibility, I don't think the Cowboys could keep up. But really, like I said last week, I think the Cowboys are underrated. This is a really tough game.
Yeah, it is a tough game, and it's interesting because I do think if the Falcons can somehow, with that offense, get up two scores, and you got to force Dallas into throwing and abandoning here the run game, I could see Atlanta pulling away and winning easy. But again, can the Falcons stop Ezekiel Elliott at all? I don't know. I'm staying away from this game. I think it's a tough one.
Yeah, kind of to what you said, Jimmy, and that's a good point. Yeah. You look back, you know, Falcons lost to the Bengals at home, lost to the Saints at home. Those are both come-from-behind wins for the opponent. I don't think the Cowboys are equipped to do that.
Right.
Still a tough game. Yeah. I didn't really add that much. I didn't sway myself.
No. I'm glad you said I made a good point. It was worth you chiming in for
it.
That. The next game on the board, there's no line as of this taping. The Bengals are at the Ravens. We don't know what's going on with the Ravens quarterback situation. So there's no line, no total. So I'll see if the boys have anything to say on the game. I'll say this. If Lamar Jackson starts, I'm betting the Bengals. I don't care what the line is because I don't think he has any chance to be a good NFL quarterback. I watch him at Louisville. Guy can't throw. So in the NFL, you have to throw. So if he starts, I'm going Bengals. RG3 or Flacco, I stay away from it.
Yeah, this game is chaos. Not only the quarterbacks, but you know, Bengals just fired their defensive coordinator. They ran out there with the worst game plan of all time the last two games and finally moved on. So, you know, if there's a new quarterback and a completely different style of quarterback under center for the Ravens this week, you kind of need some sort of, I don't know, continuity on defense to be able to be flexible enough to deal with that. Obviously, you can't pick the game right now, but you know, if it's Lamar Jackson or if it's RG3, I mean, look, I hate to spoil anyone's dreams here, but we do tape the show on Thursday, and on Thursday, RG3 was the only quarterback who practiced for the Ravens because Lamar Jackson had a stomach issue. So, who knows?
One other tidbit, if you want a handicap, you might want to go Ravens because now Hugh Jackson is part of the Bengals staff. Scott.
Boy, I like that angle. I like it a lot. Yeah, this a lot of uncertainty in this game. Even when the Ravens name a quarterback, I just think there's so much uncertainty surrounding new defensive coordinator. That Bengals defense has been absolutely awful. It's funny because these are division rivals who should be familiar with each other. And there's going to be a lot of unfamiliar schemes and perhaps an unfamiliar face under center for the Ravens here. So no line, just as well having no line and staying away from this game.
All right, next game on the board, the Panthers coming off a Thursday night shellacking at Pittsburgh, go into Detroit, who has completely gone in the tank. Panthers favored on the road here by 4.5. Big road favorite there. Total very high, 49.5, Scott Grambling.
Yeah, I do not like the Panthers on the road. And I've gotten to the point I don't like the Lions anywhere. So another game I'm staying away from. Carolina just 2-5-1 against the spread as a road favorite since the start of the 2016 season. So I don't think you can trust them in this spot. I'm staying away. This is, I think it's one of the tougher games to call this week.
Gary, these are your Lions, so we expect something here from you.
Oh, my God. bring back Golden Tate. No, they, this is a very tough game. I will say this. You got that Lions, I mean, that defense is underachieving badly. I think there's a little bit of a crisis there, and I wonder bringing in – I know they played the Panthers last year, so it's not a completely new game for them. But, you know, Panthers are doing a lot of different things this year with McCaffrey and with a lot of the misdirection stuff. So I think this is not a good matchup for a defense that is sort of not finding its footing right now. So I kind of lean Panthers. I typically like Panthers outside of that division when opponents are not familiar with Cam. It's 11-5-1 against the spread for them over the past two seasons here. But, yeah, this is a tough one. I do throw out the Thursday night game. I was hoping that there would be a little more reaction to it, and maybe the Panthers would only be given a point or two here. But, it's a tough spread.
Yeah, it's a very tough spread. 4.5 on the road is a lot, even as bad as the Lions have been. This would be another game where I'm staying away. I mean, I love the Panthers all year. I think they've been great. You don't want to just completely jump off because of that Thursday night loss. But 4.5 on the road is a lot. So I would this will be a pass for me. I don't think this is going to be a game I tune in on.
A quick
much.
Betting system here. NFL road teams 0-4 against the spread when coming off a road loss since the start of this month. So that would be in favor of the
Detroit,
Lions and against the road team Panthers.
Now, who would have thought, you know, 5-6 weeks ago this would be an interesting game, but it might be the best 1 o'clock game out there. It is the Colts giving 1.5 at home to the Tennessee Titans coming off that big, big win against the Patriots. And not a win against the Patriots, a blowout against the Patriots. Total here, 49. Gary.
Oh, man.
The spreadsheet.
Yeah,
what is the spreadsheet?
Spreadsheet doesn't tell me anything until we get to the Sunday night game. There's one 1 o'clock game where I will address it. Right. this one, I'm just not quite bought in on the Colts. It's funny, Titans, I loved them in like June. I hated them by September because of all the injuries. Then I was kind of lukewarm on them. I was off of them, and now I'm kind of on them again. I'm not crazy about the Colts, though. I do think the Colts got away with one last week. They scored touchdowns on two blown coverages. And then you had, Jaguars lose a fumble. They miss a field goal, and that ends up deciding that game. So I lean Titans. Look, this is tough to get a read on, and you know, as I've said on this show a couple of times, I mean, Andrew Luck is playing at an MVP level right now, despite the incompetence that tends to surround him, although he has T.Y. Hilton back now, so it's not a bad supporting cast.
Scott?
I like the Colts here. I do like the fact that there's some strong trends in their favor. Colts 8-2 against the spread at home against Tennessee since the start of 08. Andrew Luck 9-0 straight up, 8-1 against the spread when facing the Titans in his career. I do like the way the Colts are playing. I think the Titans still a bit up and down week to week. I know a couple pretty impressive wins on the road at Dallas, and then that game against the Patriots, and before their bye week, you know, they brought the Chargers to the last, to the very end there, going for two. So they have been playing strong, but I do like the Colts in this spot at home against a divisional opponent. And I just feel like that passing offense is getting it done between Ebron, and the Colts are getting healthy. They were very unhealthy late September into early October. They seem to be rolling here, and I'm going to go with them in this one.
I like Tennessee. Listen, I'm very, very, very nervous. Anytime a team blows out the Patriots, you fear that letdown. The letdown is what scares me here. But I think, though, with the Titans coming off two wins in a row, they beat the Cowboys. They should have beaten – well, I shouldn't say they should have at least went to overtime with the Chargers. They could be coming on a three-game winning streak. I think they're just hot at the right time. And I'm with Gary. I think Gary was the first thing he said here was he's still not sold on the Colts. That's how I am. I'm not sold on the Colts yet. And I think with Vrabel there, it's a different Titans team than in the past. And I think the Titans get this win. And I think the Titans are one of these teams keep an eye on. I think you get a little value out of them for the next few weeks here. They're a team that Henry Lewis 1-2 punch. I love it. And Mariota's playing well. I like Tennessee there. Next game, it's a rough one. The Giants giving a point at home to the Tampa Bay Bucks. Can I not hear Fitzmagic ever again? Okay, the offense stinks. The total here for some reason is 52. Scott,
I'm about the Bucks in this one. I don't like the Monday night road team playing the following Sunday, and the Giants are coming across the country back on a short week. It was just such an aberration there. You know, Tampa became the first team, right, to surpass 500 total yards in a game and not score more than 3 points with Fitzpatrick throwing the ball all around the place. If I had to take it, I would take Tampa Bay here. I think the Giants are still that bad. They didn't really do anything on Monday night that proved to me that they're anything other than a bottom six team in the NFL. So if I had to play it, I would play the Buccaneers, but I'm not going to play it, and therefore I don't have to watch it. And that will be simply fine with me. Although you did say, Jimmy, when you gave the under, for some reason, 52. I like the under in this one.
Me too.
Right?
I meant for some reason the total is 52.
Yeah, that's what I thought you meant.
The Bucks offense. You know, people remember those first 2 weeks of the season of the Bucks, and they think they're scoring 50 points a game. Not happening. And
it scored three.
Yeah, and the
at home.
Yeah, and the Giant offense is just. I mean, that offensive line is just so bad.
It's awful.
Yeah,
it's awful. I mean, that Giants look. We're not going to go into that Monday night game, but I thought the pass interference call on Beckham down the left sideline was a horrible call. Giants easily could have lost that game.
Yeah.
But,
Gary,
but it went over the total, so Gary got that right. And that was
I will, absolutely. I was loving that call. No, as long as we're recapping the Monday night game, I assume that will be the next 45 minutes of the podcast here. I'll just make the point. I mean, Giants offensive line is awful. 49ers have, and correct me if I'm wrong, but they have the worst pass rush in the NFL by a pretty wide margin. I mean, it's DeForest Buckner, and it's dudes who cannot do anything in the pass rush. So even though the Bucks don't have a pass rush either, they're not Niners bad. They're Bucks are a D minus, whereas the Niners are an F in the pass rush.
They're close to as bad though. I mean, when you look at how banged up that Washington offensive line is, I mean, John Cooper came off his couch and they only got the 3 sacks. It's a team that's got 43 sacks in the last 25 games since the start of last year. I'm with you. But I think if there's a team that's as bad as San Francisco rushing the quarterback, it might be the Buccaneers.
Oh, John Cooper, you sit on your couch. If you do some push-ups during commercial breaks, you can stay in pretty good shape. I really like the Bucs in this one. And you know, as Scott said, they begin the first team with 500 yards and only 3 points. If you have a horrific day inside the red zone with that performance, they were inside Washington's 30-yard line 6 times. If they were brutally inefficient, that's still like a 20-point game. I mean, to do what they did was, you have to try to be that bad. It can't happen again. You just, you can be bad and still score 20, 24 points in that scenario.
And that is Fitzmagic for you.
That is.
I just.
The dark magic.
So I like, and I also buy into that trade. This Giants team, last 2 years, 2-9 against the spread in the, when the spread is +3 to -3. So
you both like the Bucks.
I actually like the Bucks a lot.
I like the Bucks a very little bit.
I don't know what to say about this game. I really don't. I mean, and then, you know,
that's all you need to say. That is what.
Yeah, and I mean, Ryan, if it's one of these cold, I don't know what the weather's supposed to be on Sunday here in New York, but one of those cold days here, I don't see the Bucks. I don't know. This game is just, I'm not watching
under,
any of it.
Under.
Yeah.
Right?
This is a hard pass for me. All right, next game. The Texans, coming off a bye, are 3-point road favorites in Washington. Total 42.5. First of all, let me ask you this. Is this line appropriate here? 3-point, the Redskins leading the NFC East are underdogs by 3 at home? I thought that was a little interesting, the line.
I think it has to be 3.
Can you tell me if Washington was in Houston, the line would be 6?
No. If Washington was in Houston, it would be probably Houston by 7.5, oof, right? On a neutral field, it would be 5.5.
I don't think the Texans should be favored by 7.5 against anyone.
Well, they got a 6-game win streak.
I understand
here.
But every game they pull out of their ass, basically. I mean, they've had a couple of wins they've had no business getting.
Yeah, I mean, I'm glad we're talking about this game right after talking about that Buccaneers-Redskins right. game, because the Redskins were handed that game
right.
against the Buccaneers. They failed to reach 300 yards of offense
right.
against a horrific defense. And, you know, Fitzmagic was handing them the ball in the red zone there. I love the Texans here. I actually, it's my favorite play of the week, to be honest with you. I just think that the Redskins are so banged up along that offensive line, and Tampa just couldn't hurt them. I think the Texans can hurt them. I think they have the front seven that can do damage against this patchwork offensive line. Houston coming off the bye, they're actually 4-0 against the spread under Bill O'Brien when coming off the bye. They're 5-1 against the spread under O'Brien as a road favorite. This 6-game win streak they're on, they're 4-1-1 against the spread. I mean, the Redskins won that game against the Buccaneers because the Buccaneers turned the ball over. It's been more than a month since the Texans have turned the ball over. The Texans are playing much better as of late. I feel like they could win this game by 7 or 10 points.
I just went through it. This is the Texans last month. They beat Denver, who's awful, when they should have lost. The guy missed the field goal at the last play of the game. The Dolphins they beat, terrible. Jacksonville they beat, terrible. Buffalo. Terrible. Those are the Texans' last 4 wins. So that's why I'm surprised by this. I'm not saying the Redskins are, you know, world beaters, but it's a little disrespectful, I think, this line. Gary, what do you got on this game?
Yeah, you know, it's funny, Jimmy. We were talking about the Texans-Broncos game 2 weeks ago, and I think I had brought up a similar point to counter you. We were violently arguing over over Texans.
I think
Broncos,
I threw a phone at you. Yeah.
If you didn't hear that show, you got to go back, tune your feed, and just hear the carnage. I'm going to go to my spreadsheet here, and I apologize to those of you who also listen to the Deep Dive podcast, because I'm going to repeat what I said on the Thursday show with Andy Benoit. So you can just hit 15-second skip a couple times if you want to save a minute of your life. One of the things I track here is what I call red zone luck. Red zone is not fully luck, but it's a very fickle stat. It tends to not hold year to year, let alone game to game. So I typically just look at league average for points per red zone trip, both scored and allowed.
It's a lot of build up here. I'm getting excited. I want the payoff.
Wait until you hear this.
I'm excited.
You won't be that excited when you hear it, but I'll stick with it. Wait until you hear this. So basically what I do is I use that to try and figure out if every team in the league were league average in the red zone, which, again, it's a very inconsistent, fickle stat, they would pick up this many points or lose this many points a year. Texans with the red zone performance are -44 points on the year. That's a 5-point swing per game. They've not only, we know they've been bad offensively in the red zone, they've been bad defensively in the red zone. Mm-hmm. So I was kind of down on them for the same reason that you're down on them, Jimmy, a couple weeks ago, saying they're winning close games against teams that aren't very good.
Right.
But when I kind of looked at that, I mean, that's a swing. That's a big swing right there. The other thing I will point out, and I'll pull the curtain back a little bit on the deep dive show. As I always say, Andy Benoit is the best analyst out there. We were breaking down this game, and he starts talking. He's like, you know, I could see Washington hanging in. You get Chris Thompson going a little bit. And I said, Andy, no Chris Thompson this week. He's like, no Thompson. All right, well, they can do a lot of the same things with Jameson Crowder. And I was like, Andy, no Jameson Crowder. We had to edit the whole thing out, but Andy was kind of like, I'm not saying exactly what he said, but I believe he said something like, oh, my God, they have no chance then. For them to dominate the Texans on the ground with that patchwork line, it's just not going to happen. I think the Texans are – I think they're my favorite bet of the week too. I think this is a big win for them.
I think the line is disrespectful to the Redskins, but I wouldn't bet the Redskins. And I wouldn't bet Houston either. I would stay away from it. I think I do like the under, though. I don't see either of these offenses lighting it up on Sunday. 42.5 is actually low for this year, but this to me has like 17-13 written all over. The Texans, they don't blow anyone out. Everything's close. So,
and that is it. Washington does win games like the Bills won games a year ago. They stick around. You get a bounce every now and then, and you walk away with a win.
Yeah. All right, we go now to Jacksonville trying to – well, they can't save their season, but they're going to try to at least not be embarrassing. They welcome in the Steelers. Pittsburgh, hot, red hot, giving 5.5 on the road to Jacksonville, total 46.5. I'll go first on this one, and I'll just say this. I love the Steelers. Scott?
I don't love this game. I really think that's a bit too much for a team like the Steelers to be giving on the road. Steelers just traditionally not a great road team. I'm staying away from this one. If I had to pick it, I would take the home underdog with the points because I am a stubborn ass and I keep picking the Jaguars and I really don't have a reason why. They are 8-3 against the spread in their last 11 against Pittsburgh. They're 8-0 against the spread against AFC North opponents over the past four calendar years. But that is not enough for me to squander yet more money on the Jags. Although I did get a push with them last week, and that felt like a win because of how much I've lost on them this year. Gary?
Yeah, they. I loved them last week too. I best bet them last week, and it was the push. I mean, that's a game they should have won it outright in Indianapolis. I think when you look at a team that's talented and they've been together for a while, for them to blow two coverages and give up two touchdowns is, you can't really say like, oh, well, that's just going to happen every week. There is that factor, you know, whatever, is it coming apart at the seams? There's infighting. It's tough to really project that. I mean, God, they hate the Steelers too. If you're ever going to be motivated for a game, they're going to want to pound the Steelers a little bit. So I lean Jacksonville in this one. Like I said, you can't feel good about Jacksonville. I think you can feel good about the Steelers if you're running, if you're leaning that way. But I do lean Jacksonville in this one.
I love the Steelers. I think the Jaguars are done. I think they're sort of phoning it in a little bit. Steelers are hot. Everything's clicking for them now. I think too, the Le'Veon Bell thing, that's done now. They come out. They're not, no distractions, and big Pittsburgh win coming on Sunday. We go to 4 p.m. on Sunday, 4 o'clock slate. And I'm going to apologize now to the audience for even bringing this up. But the Arizona Cardinals are giving 5 points to the visiting Oakland Raiders. The total is 40.5. Do you even want to say anything, Gary? I know. I'm not even going to insult you by calling them your Cardinals anymore. But if you want to say something, go ahead. The floor is yours.
We got to get a little audio drop for like Cardinals Corner with Gary Grant. I like the Cardinals in this one. It's funny. I was watching that Oakland game last week where they lost to the Chargers.
I was watching that garbage game too.
Yeah, it was.
I had the under.
Yeah. It was kind of like, you know, good for the Raiders. They're playing hard. They haven't given up on the season. But then it's kind of like, God, they are terrible. That's them not giving up, and they can't compete. Cardinals hung around. Last week was a bit of a reminder. They're really talented on defense.
He's playing at a level that's like on the Watt, Khalil Mack level almost.
If you – this is the stupidest hypothetical I've ever put out there, but I started it, so I'll finish it. If you just went around and said, hey, you can start building a team around any two defenders from the same defense. I mean, Chandler Jones and Patrick Peterson are right up there. Yeah. Those guys are superstars. Buda Baker is really good. They're talented on defense. That offense is getting together. They are throwing the ball to David Johnson, which is something Mike McCoy didn't realize was permitted under the rules of the current NFL. So I think the Cardinals are trending up.
So you're going to lay five with Arizona?
I am.
All right.
I am.
Scott?
It's the only way they can trend. I mean, this is a team that's 1-4 at home this season. The only win coming against the 49ers. They have a point differential.
They should have beaten the Bears.
They have a point differential of minus 55 at home in five home games.
Sam Bradford was shaving points.
Tough. I don't know.
I'm doing that investigation.
Yeah, this game's garbage. I'm not touching this game.
I thought for sure you'd take 5 points with the Raiders.
If I had to take the game, I'd take the points just because both teams are awful, and I would take that point. It feels like a 19-17 type game to me. But, and the over-under is too low, though, at 41 to go under that.
Yeah, I won't watch a second of this, so let's just move on. The Chargers are giving a touchdown at home to the Broncos. Total 46.5. Everyone is on the Chargers bandwagon. So you have them at home, even though it's really not a great home field. Only given a touchdown. Scott?
I think it's the right number, to be honest with you. I think 7 is the right spread here for a divisional game. And, you know, the Broncos have been a bit better in recent weeks. I mean, they played well in that loss in Kansas City. That was a game where they were getting a lot of points and covered the spread, losing by 7. They actually covered 3 straight before losing at home to the Texans in a close game. They were favored by 1, lost by 2. I think it's the right number. If there's a way to go in this game, to me, it's got to be under 46.5. And I actually really like under 46.5. The Chargers don't get a lot of credit for how good they are on defense, and I don't really understand why. And I thought Chargers Raiders under 50 last week was a very easy pick. I wasn't sweating that one out at all. Chargers have averaged only 17 points per game against the Broncos since the start of 2014. I think it's a low-scoring game, and it's probably a low-scoring 7-point game. If I had to choose a side, I would take the points, but the only way I'm going in this game is under 46.5.
Yeah,
to Scott's point, they've been good defensively. They might get Joey Bosa back this week, too, who is, everyone's preseason defensive player of the year pick.
Not everyone's.
That is correct. Actually, I can't remember who I picked back then. I'm sure whoever won it, whoever's going to win is who I picked in the preseason.
Someone on the Lions or Cardinals, I'm sure.
Right. Chandler Jones, Patrick Peterson.
It was. They were going to share it. I like the Chargers in this one. I think it's the old tried and true. Look, Broncos have on a Sunday or Monday road game under Vance Joseph, they have never come within a touchdown of a team. So they did cover because it was the Chiefs last time. So they did get their first against the spread road win on a Sunday-Monday under Joseph. But I'll go with the Chargers in this one. And as I say every time I pick the Chargers against a bad team, I like the Chargers when they play bad teams. I think this is a team that will struggle with the elite and beat up on the bad teams.
You know who I had as Defensive Player of the Year? Calais Campbell. So if he can average like 7 sacks per game from here to the end of the season, he probably still won't win it.
It starts now.
Somehow I don't think a Jaguar will be winning that award.
I do not think so.
I don't have a feel for this game. I don't know. These are two teams I don't think I've picked right most of the year. I can't say I have a feel. The Chargers will be in a teaser for me. I'll just do that and call it a day.
Does it? It feels like 23-16 or 24-17. Doesn't it feel that way to you?
I could see the Chargers. I could see Melvin Gordon had a big. I know you guys have said Denver's defense is good, but their run defense a little bit.
I
the
haven't.
Jets shredded them and. I think Kareem Hunt had a big game. I don't know. I could see Gordon and doing a little damage there. Like I said, this will be a teaser game for me. I'm not laying the 7, but I'll put the Chargers in
a
teaser.
Can I throw in a weird, meaningless stat?
Sure.
Please.
It's been 42 days since the Chargers played in that soccer stadium. They haven't played a true home game in a very long time.
Interesting.
That's it. It means nothing.
Yeah. They haven't played a true home game since they moved from San Diego.
I was going to say. That's why that stat is meaningless. All right. 4:25. This is your big game Sunday. I don't think it's a big game at all, though. The Saints are giving 8.5 points to the incoming Eagles. Total, I think this is the biggest one on Sunday, 56. Gary.
Yeah, geez, if I told you in August that come week 11 the Eagles would be the biggest underdog of the week, you'd think I was a very boring person. This is a tough game. I don't know. I lean Eagles just because I feel like they are. I don't think they're dead. I think the Cowboys were underrated. I think. I think they just got caught by a division opponent last week. So I'm leaning Eagles here. I don't, you know, Saints obviously will have no problem covering a spread like that if they get going against that banged-up secondary. But I'm going to lean Philly here.
Scott?
I so badly want to take the points, and I cannot find a compelling reason to do so. The Saints are rolling. Everybody knows that. The Eagles, 0-3 straight up and against the spread this season against teams that currently have winning records. This team has just not been good, and I got suckered in last week. I did like them. I didn't best bet them, but I did like them against the Cowboys coming off the bye, and they were just simply outplayed. I just don't think the Eagles are very good at this point, and the Saints look like the team that I thought was going to win the Super Bowl prior to the season. They've been that and more. And the level of competition that they've had to face in recent weeks and have come away winning those games, double-digit win against the Rams. They went into Minnesota and won. I know the Bengals aren't great competition, but they absolutely hammered the Bengals. Again, I would love to take this many points. I just can't see it. I would go with the Saints here.
I love the Saints, and I think this is a classic gamblers looking to overthink, outsmart, act like you're smarter than everyone else. Here's the deal. The Saints right now are the best team in the NFL. They're at home against a bad football team. There's no other way to say it about the Eagles. They're a bad football team right now. And you're laying 8.5. I think it's an easy win for the Saints. Sunday night, Chicago hosting the Vikings. Bears laying 2.5. So you're laying under a field goal with a home team. Vikings come in to Chicago. The total 44.5. Scott.
I like the Vikings here. I think that this Vikings team has really turned things around. I think you have to throw out that Bills game back in September. Who knows why that happened and how that happened. Vikings are just getting better every week, right? They lost by 7 as a 7-point underdog against the Rams in L.A. They gave up 456 passing yards in that game. Since then, opponents have gotten 283 and then 208 and then 192 and then 164 and then 143. Like, each week since then, they've given up fewer and fewer passing yards. I feel like that coming off the bye, you look at this matchup here that I like the Vikings an awful lot here with the way they've played in recent weeks. And, you know, Jimmy, everything you were saying about the Texans in terms of not facing good competition, that applies here when you're looking at the Bears. And the Bears have benefited from what has been an easy schedule. They've yet to win a game against an opponent that currently is over 500. You know, and during this win streak, it's a modest 3-game win streak, but, you know, 3-game win streaks are not to be scoffed at in the NFL. But, you know, they've beaten the Jets, the Bills, and the Lions, and those teams combined have a 9-20 record. I know the Bears are 6-3, but the Vikings 5-3-1 beneath that is more impressive because of the competition they've faced. I like the Vikings to win it outright.
Gary?
Yeah, I'm with Scott all the way on this one, and I get to use my spreadsheet again, guys.
Oh, yes.
Two other worksheets here on my NFL luck spreadsheet. I second everything Scott just ran through here. Another stat I track is fumble recoveries. Forcing a fumble, you can argue, is a skill. Once the ball is loose, falling on it is not a skill. That's a coin flip proposition. So if you're looking at essentially expected fumble recoveries during the year, the Vikings have had the worst fumble recovery luck. 31 fumbles in their games. They've only recovered 11. So that's about 5 possessions this year that they have lost out on just because of bad luck. And another one I keep, opponent field goal percentage. If you're a kicker, I had a lot of confused Browns fans very upset with me last week when I said the Browns were getting great luck with kicking, opponent kicking. The Browns have bad kickers. That's why your kicking game is bad. As far as opponents go, you play opponents, you get a range of kickers. Some of them are good, some of them are bad. Teams tend to be around the league average is what you'd expect. The Vikings' opponent kickers are 21 of 23 on field goals. They are perfect on PATs. They have had the third worst opponent kicker luck this year. So I count the Vikings among the elite teams, you know, the Saints, the Rams, the Chiefs, and I'd put the Vikings up there too at this point. So I love them giving something in the neighborhood of a field goal or less on Sunday night.
No, they're getting 2.5.
Something in the neighborhood of a field goal or less. Yeah, I like that even better.
I don't like the game. I think the Bears at home giving less than a field goal. I think their offense is getting better and better each week. Trubisky's improving. The coach there is a wild card. He comes up with some crazy stuff. But the Vikings defense is playing so much better. So I would not pick the Bears. I don't think it's going to be an easy game. I think this one is going to be close to route. I'm not touching it myself. All right, the big one, game of the year, Monday night in L.A., the Rams giving 3.5 to the Chiefs. The total is 63.5. I'll just start by saying this. I'm surprised the line is Rams minus 3.5. That's not a real home field. So the 3 points for home field, I don't know if that plays in here. But I'm not convinced the Rams are the better team, and they're given 3.5. I do love the over. I think this is up and down, points all over the place. Neither defense is playing well. Rams have played some tough games recently, Packers, Seahawks, and Saints. But I'm just surprised the line's 3.5. I don't know where to go on the side with this. I wouldn't be shocked if either team won. I love the over on this game. Gary?
Yeah, this is what it comes down to for me with this game. And actually, Ben Teitelbaum, who does the line with us, made a really good point. Even if you already didn't think LA was a home field advantage, the Rams were getting ready for this game in Denver because of the altitude in Mexico City. So it's really no home field advantage this week as far as preparation went. I think this game profiles exactly like Rams and Saints did a couple of weeks ago, and I know that sounds a little bit lazy, but it's two defenses who are ill-equipped to stop the opposing elite offense. The only reason I lean Rams is for this reason. I think the Chiefs have sort of settled in and said, you know what, we're just going to go conservative on defense. It's all we can do. We're gonna hang back, and we're going to try and outscore teams. I think the Rams are equipped. They're risk-reward, but they're equipped to force turnovers with Marcus Peters and with Donald and with, to a lesser extent, Dante Fowler up there. So I lean Rams here because I do think this one just ultimately – someone's going to make a play. There's going to be a turnover that's going to swing this, and I think the Rams are more likely to get that.
It's interesting because as bad as the Chiefs' defense has been, I do feel like they end up getting that turnover when they need it. But again, their caliber of opponent, I don't think, has been as good as the Rams, which is, you know, a little bit of a factor there. The other thing, the one thing I do like, because I did say I love the over here, one thing I did like about the Chiefs scored 26 points last week against Arizona. Chandler Jones, who we talked about, had a big game in that game. The Chiefs scored 26 points in that game, and afterwards – the comments from the players and the coach, they were pissed at how poorly the offense played.
Yeah.
I like that as a good sign for them. You know, they want to be in the 30s, especially maybe even the high 30s. So I love that mentality coming off a 26. You know, most teams score 26. They're thrilled. The Chiefs were anything but. So I could see this. I see nothing but offense in this game, Scott.
So this will be the 12th time since the start of 2003 that a total has closed at 57.5 or higher. So 11 previous times, including playoffs. You guys care to guess in those 11 games, how many of those went over the total? Take a stab.
We had one this year, so I'll say 9.
What do you think, Jimmy?
I'll price is right you and go 8.
A dollar.
Yeah.
All 11.
Wow.
All 11 when the total has been 57.5. So, Jimmy, to your call on the over, you have history on your side for sure on that one. This is a really tough game to handle. It's a very tough line that they've put out there. If I had to play it, I would go with the Rams. And Jimmy made the point, I think it's a good one, that they have been more tested to this point. However, I can't say I would at all be surprised if the Chiefs end up winning this game. The Chiefs have been the better team against the spread. The Rams have been far from dominant in recent weeks. It's a very tough game to take a side on. And it is going to be an entertaining game. It will be up and down. But if I had to play it, I would take the Rams. Honestly, if the spread were 4.5, I would take the Chiefs.
Yeah, I think if the Rams offense is, you know, obviously heavy on the pass, but if they gave Todd Gurley 30 carries in this game, I think it would actually maybe even be an easy Rams win. But that's not their offense, because I don't think the Chiefs could come close to stopping Gurley in this one at all. That run defense against Gurley would be ugly.
If we're talking just X's and O's football, the Chiefs' biggest weakness is teams that run well out of three receiver sets. You think of all the times that the Steelers like steamrolled them over the years with Le'Veon Bell and the three receivers.
Right.
That's all the Rams. Rams are in three receiver sets more than any team in football.
And they're going to be, even though Kupp is out for the season.
I was going to mention, Kupp hurts them a little bit. It's a great game to great game for Monday night, that's for sure.
And I'm glad that it's in L.A. I just feel I don't know, there's something a little gimmicky about the game in Mexico, and especially when early in the week they were talking about that field being garbage. It's like that's the last thing you want to see.
Oh, if you saw the pictures of that, it was unbelievable.
It was unbelievable.
All right, it's time now. That wraps up the schedule for Week 11. We now go to our best bets. All right, Scott, let's start with you. What do you got for Week 11?
I have 3 sides and 3 totals, so a little six-pack for you here.
Okay.
I am going with the over in the Tennessee-Indianapolis game. I think there'll be a lot of points in that one.
49 the total there.
That is over 49. I'm taking the Colts in that game. Lay in the 1.5, so essentially a pick 'em game. I do like the Colts to beat the Titans there. I said earlier in the show my favorite play was Houston laying 3 in Washington, so I am taking the Texans in that one. I am also taking the Minnesota Vikings in the night game, getting the 2.5 against Chicago. The other totals I have is under the 52 in the Buccaneers-Giants game. And my favorite total of the week is going under the 46.5 in the Broncos-Chargers game.
Gary, best bets, how many you got for us?
God, so I got 4. I didn't like any of the totals this week, and I kind of talked myself into Tennessee and Indianapolis here. But I like the under. I think it's a couple of well-coached defenses. I think both offenses will take care of the ball in this game. I think you get a lot of long drives that end in field goal attempts. So I like the under 49 in Colts Titans. Sorry, brother. And then I got 3 sides here. I also loved the Vikings plus 2.5. One other stat I didn't mention because it's not on my spreadsheet, and therefore I don't respect
Doesn't
it
count.
Normally.
Yeah.
The Bears have 16 interceptions this year. each of the last 3 years, they've had eight on the year. They can't keep up with it.
How about
Peterman? Peterman.
I was going to say Peterman and Sam Bradford.
Maybe they're better.
Pass rush.
Khalil Mack causing havoc.
Pass rush. That's what it is, Jimmy.
If there's one thing that I've learned from covering the NFL, everyone is the same forever, Jimmy.
Good
but no,
point.
I do think even though the Bears are better, I think they can't keep up that pace. I know they can't keep
all
up
right,
that
so
pace.
All right, so you have the Vikings, you have the over, and the Colts.
I like Tampa a lot, getting 1.5 at Giants, and my third side is Houston. I love Houston, too.
I have 4-4 years. Well, I like the Tennessee Titans getting 1.5 at the Colts. They win outright. Two favorites. Saints blow out the Eagles. I mean, that's got 38-17 written all over it. Love the Steelers to blow out the Jaguars. Lay the 5.5 there on the road. Don't worry about that. Jaguars are done. And I love the over. 63.5 Chiefs-Rams. And I love it even more that Scott gave me that stat. So those are my four for week 11.
I'm glad you did it, Jimmy. I was a coward on that. That's I liked okay. it, and I backed off.
That's okay. So that wraps up this week's edition of the MMQB Gambling Podcast. Look for us on Tuesday of next week, not your usual Friday slot. We'll be posting on Tuesday, and we will cover Lions, Bears, Redskins, Cowboys, Falcons, Saints on your Thanksgiving schedule, as well as the rest of the games then on Sunday.
All NFC teams on Thanksgiving.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
All NFC
teams. Those are three games.
Right?
Yep. So, like I said, next week, Tuesday instead of Friday for the three of us. That wraps up this edition of the MMQB Gambling Podcast. We'll see you next week.
Have a profitable weekend, everybody.
Tip of the hat to Albert, another strong edition of MMQB. Did you know your favorite team has a daily podcast on the Locked On Podcast Network? Steelers fans, we have you covered with Locked On Steelers. Cowboys fans, it's Locked On Cowboys. And Chiefs fans, it's Locked On Chiefs. You get the picture. Search Locked On, your favorite team. Search on Apple Podcasts or Google Podcasts for Locked On, your favorite team. Or tell your smart speaker to play podcasts Locked On, your favorite team. Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.